Afternoon. Again, keep on saying good afternoon. So, my name is James. It is my privilege to serve this church as the pastor. It is my privilege also to share the word with you today. I always like to begin by committing this time to the Lord's hands. And so, once again, I invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just sang that you are the three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is who you are. You could not be a loving God if you were not three in one. You would have no one to love. You are the three in one, and we worship you as such. We thank you so much, Lord, that you loved us, that your love was like a cascading waterfall just spreading out and out. So you created us. And Father, as we read your word today, we just pray, Lord, would you teach us how to live? How to live as Christians in this world that does not know you? I pray that your word would speak to our hearts today. Would you challenge us? Would you convict us? Would you speak to us, Father? In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, we are going through a sermon series. I'm actually going to move it a little more. We are going through a sermon series on Christian living. How should we live as Christians in a world that does not know Jesus? And especially so, if you did not grow up in any kind of Christian family, how should we live? How should we act? Today, we're going to talk about the third part, which is honoring God with our bodies. If we go on to the next part, we will look at our text. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 is our text. And so just to make this point again, we are going through this sermon series. It is all about Christian living and how we should live. There you go. We are looking at what the Bible says about how we are to live as Christians. This is an eight part. This is the third part. But we will see how the part today is really linked to the parts that we had before. So we began a couple of weeks ago talking about how we are to deal with temptations. As Christians, we are united in this fact. We're going to go through the suffering of temptation together. We look specifically how the devil's schemes will be to tempt us in one of three ways. And one of these ways that the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness is how he will tempt us. It is lust of the flesh. Jesus was tempted by the devil to turn stones into bread. The devil still will tempt us with the physical cravings, the physical desires of our own bodies, of comfort, of food, of lust. And we are to resist the devil's schemes. We will see how our text today links to this. Last week, we also looked, we are to take Sabbath rest. If you want to be emotionally, spiritually healthy, the Lord has provided a day that should be set apart, dedicated to find our rest of satisfaction in him. We are not to be like hamsters on a wheel, just going, striving, being productive. The Lord has made you, Christian, to be somebody who observes a pattern of working and of having rest, real rest. Do you know how to rest? Today we're going to look at this text from 1 Corinthians. It's a well-known text, but I think that we still struggle today, 2,000 years after it was written, to really grab a hold of the revolutionary weight of these words, the impact of these words, despite it being very well known. So we're going to find ourselves today in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have a Bible, I invite you to open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to find ourselves just with two verses, verses 19 and verses 20, but I'm actually going to read the verses. I'm going to start at verse 12 just for the context of it. So starting in verse 12, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food. And God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take a member of Christ and unite it then with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This is the word of the Lord. So we are to honor God with our bodies, and that's what we're going to look at today. What do you think about your body? How much time do you spend thinking about it? Are you one of those people who has to be dragged away every time you see a mirror just to kind of check out how you look? Or are you one of these pieces who really cannot stand to look at the mirror? Do you secretly dread this summer weather? Have you been on a diet? Are you very self-conscious about how you look? What do we think about our bodies? You know that I like statistics and surveys and research and stuff. I had to get one in. I did have a little look at the statistics about how satisfied people are with their bodies. And as you might expect, the statistics are 70 or 80% of people at some point in their life will not be satisfied with how they look. And 2 out of every 5 people are often dissatisfied when they look in the mirror. Now, when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago, a very, very prevalent idea from the Greeks that was present was an idea of dualism. And we can see in our text today that this dualistic thinking is still evident in the church in Corinth. Dualism says this: the Greeks had a very low idea of the body. Basically, they would separate the body into the person into the physical, what you can see, the visible, and the invisible, the spiritual. And they basically thought of the body as being something you just have to live with. You just have to put up with it. You just have to live with it. It has no real eternal value, no real eternal worth. I would say that we, if we're not careful, can still be very influenced by this dualistic thinking. You see, very often when we think of our bodies, do we think of them as being connected with our spiritual well-being? As Christians, we can often go after a spiritual word, go after the spiritual truth. And we can also see our bodies as just something we have to live with, something we just fill up with fuel and then get on in worshiping God. We can easily neglect them and also, like the Greeks, like the church in Corinth, see them as second rate, not so important as spiritual truth. But there is a connection. And as Christians, we are not to think dualistically. We are to think holistically. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit, and we have a mind. Theologians would differ on this point. Some theologians would see the mind as a faculty of the soul, but clearly 1 Thessalonians 4, 20-25 says, we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. We're not just two. It's not just body and spirit. And we know this. We know this. We know that, for example, if somebody was to have a heart attack from all of the stress and the anxiety of work, we can see the connection. The heart stops beating. The physical, the heart stops beating because of how the mind is processing all of these anxious and worrying thoughts. There is a connection. We know this. If you're struggling in your spiritual life and find it really hard to pray and read the Bible, well, maybe the McDonald's you had late last night and going to bed at 2 o'clock doesn't help with that. We know that there is a connection, but we often do not act upon that understanding. So our text today tells us, encourages us to not think dualistically, but to think holistically, and it gives revolutionary weight to the body, because the Bible says, and God's will for you is to treat your body with honor and respect, because it is to be a holy offering, a living sacrifice for him. That's what Romans 12:1 says. You are to offer your body as a living sacrifice to him. And so let's take a look at our text one more time and divide it into 3 points, verses 19 and 20. First point, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, your body is not your own. Thirdly, honor God with your body. So, first point, what is a temple? We don't use that word very much, right? What is a temple? Well, last week we looked at the word holy. We know that the word holy means dedicated, separate, set apart. A temple is a holy place, a sacred place. Nowadays, we don't use that very much, but the first century readers in Corinth obviously understood the word temple. They were very familiar with that word. So I want us, if we can, to try to grasp with our 21st century ears the revolutionary weight of hearing these words from Paul. It will be hard for us because we've heard the word so many times. But try to hear how the readers in Corinth heard the words, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Not with 21st century ears. 21st century ears, when I hear body is a temple, we think six-pack, sculpting abs, workout, right? All that stuff. The church in Corinth was not thinking about workout routines, right? They were thinking quite differently. They all knew the temple. The temple, for a first century Jewish reader, was a sacred place. It was a place where you went with something covered over your head. You would have to enter the temple with something covered over your head to show humility before God. If you were a first century Jewish reader, you knew to take off your shoes before entering the temple. It's a holy place. You knew that you would have to go through the ritual purification laws. You would need to be ritually pure before entering the temple. But now, what Paul is saying is because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, everything has changed. Paul teaches God does not live in temples made by human hands. He tells them, first of all, he tells the believers, you are the temple. You, corporately, are the temple. But not only that, each individual believer is the dwelling place, the inner sanctuary, the holy of holies for God, the Holy Spirit. Paul repeats this. It's not just in this time. Paul often actually repeats this in his letters. Colossians 1:27, Paul again tells this truth. He says in the NLT translation, and this is the secret. I like that. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you, a hope of glory in the ESV. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Just try to imagine this. You are a first century reader with dualistic thinking. The body is just something you have to put up with. But now you're told that that holy place where you barely whispered in, that inner sanctuary is your body. That is revolutionary in thinking. But Paul is actually just extending what Jesus referred to as well. If we remember, Jesus also refers to his body as a temple. If you remember John 2, verses 18 to 21, this is what Jesus says. He talks figuratively, but he also refers to his body as a temple. The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. What is very interesting is the Greek word for that temple that both Paul and Jesus use. There are different words for temple in Greek. One of them is the word hieron in Greek, and it means the outer building. But Paul and Jesus use the word naos in the Greek word naos, which means the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary, the whole temple building. So it is very clear now, very clear that we must treat with such honor our body, and that nothing, nothing must defile the inner sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. And Paul gives an extreme example of this, right? In verse 15, he gives an extreme example, but it was very relevant to his times. He says, well, if your body is linked with a prostitute, then it defiles it. But this was very common in actually that time, because a lot of the gods, the false gods that people in the biblical times worshipped, would have temple prostitution. Like a god like Baal, for example, you would go to the temple of Baal, and outside the temple would be all these temple prostitutes. And you could have sex with one of those prostitutes so that Baal would look favorably upon you and your land would be fertile. Paul is saying to the believers in Corinth, you understand that you as a people, the temple, you would never engage with temple prostitution. But like that, whatever you link your body with, this is the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do not engage in sexual immorality. It greatly defiles the body. Here's a question for us to consider as we prepare to go deeper. Really, honestly, do you have that conception of your body? This body that maybe you get up every morning and you've got a stiff back and it pains you and it hurts you and you're ashamed of it and you neglect it. This body is the set apart, dedicated dwelling place of God, the Holy Spirit. Do I have this conception? Because if I don't, then I might struggle to honor God with it. And that is the Lord's will for your life. That is how we should live as Christians, in a way that honors God with how we live in our bodies. Let's go deeper and take a look at the next part. Your body is not your own. So, next part is 1 Corinthians 6, 19b, 20a. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Everybody on this earth, whether you're a Christian or not, you are following someone. You are following something, whether you acknowledge it or not. And basically, you have two choices. And here's our quote for today. I want also to get a quote, and I like this guy, J.C. Philpott. Remember, you must belong to someone. If God is not your master, the devil will be. If grace does not rule, sin will reign. If Christ is not your all in all, the world will be. We must have a master of one kind or another. As a Christian, I need to live in a way that acknowledges I'm not my own. And so I don't get to do what I want with this physical cloak. I don't. I want to try to come at it, this whole thinking, from a different perspective. Imagine that you have bought a house in a very expensive part of Hamburg. For example, in Blankenese. That's a really nice part of Hamburg. If you live there, great. They've got these massive villas in Blankenese, right? Massive villas that overlook the River Elbe. Imagine that you, for a lot of money, You bought a villa in Blankenese, and you're a generous soul, so you decide to allow a house sitter to remain in that villa for the rest of their life. And the house sitter is just told one thing: listen, you can stay in this house for the rest of your life, but just remember, please, respect the owner. You're not the owner of the house. Respect the owner. What would you say, what would you think, if the house sitter, day one of their house sitting, gets a massive Beamer, PlayStation 5, and starts playing video games? Okay, that's, you know. Starts ordering the takeaways, starts ordering the Chinese dinners, the pizzas. And then after a few days, you notice nothing is being cleaned up here. Okay, the days go on, the weeks go on, you notice nothing is being decorated, nothing is being cleaned, and after months and months, you see mold all around the walls, maggots and worms in the floor. Would you say that house sitter has respected the owner of the house? You are not your own. This house is not your house. And the Bible often refers to the body as an earthly tent, a temporary shelter, a house. The house is not your own. It has been bought at a price. Jesus himself, very clearly in Matthew 10, says, listen, we are to say no to the selfish cravings of our physical bodies. We are to deny ourselves. We are to lose ourselves and say no to them. Only then will you find yourself. And Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, knows about all of this stuff. He understands the difficulties of not giving in to the body. Often when we think of Jesus and we think of temptations, we turn to, at least I do, we turn to the wilderness. We turn to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we can lose sight of this fact. For 33 years of Jesus' life, he was tempted. 33 years of his life, he was tempted in every single way, the same way that we are. He knows everything about bodily temptation. He was fully human. But here is a verse which I love, which comforts us so much. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Thank God, right? Thank God we don't have that. We have someone who truly understands every physical temptation you will go through. In every respect has been tempted as we are, yet was without sin. He was without sin. You don't get to do, I don't get to do what we want with our bodies because our bodies have been bought. And the price was a lot higher than a house in Blankenese. A lot higher. The price was the precious blood of Jesus himself. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:18-19 tells us this fact. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. How do we live as Christians? This is the question that we'll be asking ourselves week in, week out for the next 8 weeks. How do we live as Christians? How do you live in this temporary home? By remembering you have a divine owner. By remembering you can't do what you want because it's been bought at a price. So let's look at our next part. Let's look at the practical part. Honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. So maybe now we have a greater understanding that we are to live in a way that shows great honor to the Lord because he has bought your body. And not only that, he himself, God the Holy Spirit, dwells in your body. So how are we to honor him? Two questions that I like to think that could be practical pointers that might help us to begin to think how we might honor God with our bodies. First question, is my body under control? Secondly, do I honor God by taking care of my body? Let's look at another passage just before our verses. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says this. Paul says, you say, so the church in Corinth says, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. That is clearly a slogan, something that they say. I have no idea what that means 2,000 years later. Food for the stomach for food. Thank God we do have commentators who can look deeper into the text. And I really liked what one commentator said about this. He said, this was a slogan that was used in the church at Corinth that they had adopted from the culture around them, which means, give the body whatever it wants, it'll be destroyed. Which is dualistic thinking. Give the body whatever, any craving the body has, give it. It'll just be destroyed. You'll be turned into some spirit. So it's okay. But if we have holistic thinking now, and we think, but the inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit, if I dishonor the Lord by maybe being sexually immoral, or doing anything, eating anything that I want, maybe the Holy Spirit is grieved, in his dwelling place is grieved, and therefore I will not actually be able to live under the power of the Holy Spirit anymore, as I have grieved the one who lives in me. Therefore, I will have little power over sin and little power to be used by him. Two verses that I love us to really think about when we think about honoring God with our bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 4, 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 4 says, each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. And actually, verse 3 says, it is God's will. I should have included that. It says, God, it is God's will for you to do this. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27 says, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I would be disqualified if I kept on giving in to the devil's temptations and continue to give the body whatever it wants and go off the narrow path, off to another path. Stay on the narrow path. How can we grow in self-control? We know that self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is an evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And we need it. You are not going to grow as a Christian if you don't learn to discipline yourself and grow in self-control. You will not. You'll just randomly pray whenever you decide to pray, allowing your feelings to do it. You need self-control to grow as a Christian. One practical suggestion for how we can grow in this area of self-control is that we can learn the discipline of fasting. We spoke about this a few days ago, so a few people are already familiar with this. It's just one suggestion. We can learn the discipline of fasting. What is fasting? Firstly, very importantly, fasting is not starving. It doesn't mean going without food, full stop. Fasting is feasting. Instead of feasting on food, we feast on the Lord. Instead of having physical food, apples, whatever it is, you're actually feasting on spiritual food. If you have never fasted before, I would not advise you to begin with a 40-day fast. That would not be the first place to go. Start slow. And if you have a medical condition, also be very aware of that. The first thing to say about fasting is that you must set aside a time, if you're going to fast, where you're going to spend time with the Lord. Don't make the mistake I often did. Forget praying and just wonder why I'm so annoyed at the end of the day. Well, yeah, but I did not pray. I did not get that spiritual food. You must set aside time for the Lord. But I'm telling you this, you will discover things, probably about yourself and in his word, that can change you. It is incredibly beneficial to actually do it. You may receive revelation from the Lord through his word when we purposefully dedicate and consecrate ourselves to him, saying, I'm going without food, Lord, because I want to give more of myself to you. He honors that. He will honor it. We can also learn from the monks, the monastic tradition. These guys, 1,500 years, there have been monks. And these guys know something about sexual temptation, because they decided to live a celibate life. But they are humans, and they know what it's like to be tempted. The monks would say, and they always fasted, they would say, if you're able to fast and beat your body, then it helps if you're struggling with lust. So Christian, if you are struggling with lust, if you can't stop looking at pornography, why not trying beating your body and keeping it under control by fasting and making it your slave? You are not just to be led around by your stomach wherever it decides to go. I'll just do this, I'll just do this. No. An undisciplined, uncontrolled life does not honor the Lord. So try fasting. Next question. Do I honor God by taking care of my body? So the passage from this is 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do I honor God by taking care of my body? Listen, I do not want to overstate my case in making sure that we honor God with our body. You do not have to be a member of the gym to be a member of the church, right? Honoring God does not mean I have to have a six-pack. That's not what it's about. It's not all about making sure our bodies are some temple like that. But three basic things. Do I take care of my body in the area of sleep? Do I take care of my body in the area of diet? Do I take care of my body in the area of exercise? Sleep, diet, exercise. We know these things. But Christian, if you think going around with 4 or 5 hours of sleep every night is really going to help you, in the long term, it won't. The life expectancy of people who have 4 hours sleep is a lot less. So basically, you will not be a faithful servant of the Lord as long as you could be. So get your sleep. Sleep 7 hours. That's what health experts recommend. 7 hours sleep. Make sure you get it. Exercise. How much should we exercise our bodies? Here it comes, right? A bit more than you probably do. The World Health Organization. I checked out the experts. What do I know? I don't know. I looked at the World Health Organization. They recommend 2.5 hours a week of aerobic exercise, light aerobic exercise, walking, jogging a little bit, plus 2 days of muscle strengthening. Maybe we were good with the first one, second one, not so sure. Third one, diet. We know this. You cannot keep stuffing your with ice cream and Doritos and pizzas and still expect to live a vibrant spiritual life. It's not going to happen. You don't have to be some health expert, but eat healthily. Eat healthily. There is a connection with the mind, body, and spirit. There is. Let me end, actually, by pointing us to the Lord, to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth in the form of a human with a male body. And in that male body, he suffered and he strained and he got tired and he got fatigued and he cried and he sweated and he died on the cross in that body. And then he was resurrected and he appeared to his disciples as a fairy, airy, ethereal spirit, right? No. He was resurrected, and he had a physical body, a different body, a heavenly body, but still a body which could eat, still a body which he could show to Thomas, here are the scars. Look at my scars. He was given a heavenly body. And as Christians, you too will be given a heavenly body. But with this earthly body, we are to treat it with dignity and we are to treat it with respect to our divine owner. So resist the devil's temptations of physical cravings for lust and for food. Give your body the rest it deserves for one day of the week and discipline it. Because it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where God the Holy Spirit dwells. Let's pray as we think about these things. Let me encourage you to bow your head and let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we are to live in a way that honors you with our body. And I think we struggle sometimes. I think we neglect it. I think we often have this thinking of, yeah, we can just do what we want and just be surprised when it has an effect in other areas of our life. Your word says that we are to honor you by how we live in these earthly tents that you've given to us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that we would take your word seriously. We would take it seriously. These are the dwelling places of your Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve you, God. We don't want to grieve you by how we live in our bodies. Would you teach us to live in a way that honors you through it? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.